I see what you're doing here, George. Lil Wayne was on the list. He got pardoned. So he's back on the show. Also back is from Husker 24/7, Brian Christopherson. BC, good Friday morning, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm not too bad. How are you guys?
Good. Are you Chiefs, Bills, Packers, Buccaneers?
I mean, who's going to win? I will say the Chiefs and the Packers, and I'm rooting for the two other teams.
I know that's good because as a Viking fan, you should. You do not want to see the Cheeseheads playing in the Super Bowl or hear from Packer fans. I appreciate that, your loyalty to the Vikings. Let's start. There's a lot of things to talk about because now we have a spring game that is set. We kind of know what the calendar is going to look like in the lead up to that. School begins on Monday in Lincoln. Players are trickling in. More and more are coming back. Now we'll probably find out guys that decided not to come back and what their status is. You know that Luke McCaffrey is a name that is being mentioned by a lot of people on what his current status is. If by chance he doesn't return to school, what do you think that does to that quarterback room?
Yeah, he's definitely been a name that's been floating in the breeze. And I don't know. I think if he's gone, I mean, that automatically that puts a lot of attention on Logan Smothers as, you know, sort of the next guy in the line of competition. And obviously there will be an eagerness no matter what to see what kind of player Logan is and how he handles it now that he's really in the thick of the fight, whether Luke is here or he's not here. But that's also, you know, that's a lot on the shoulders of a young guy who would only be in his second year of college ball trying to compete with Adrian. So it would ding him a little bit. I mean, I know some people think the story is written on Luke McCaffrey as a quarterback because they watched him play in, you know, three or four games at that position. I don't think that. I'm not in that company. I knew he had a lot of room to grow as a passer. That was evident. But I always think back to really great Husker quarterbacks I've seen. And you can find the videos on YouTube of some legendary Husker quarterbacks that we think of when in their younger years. They played a couple games where they weren't too hot, you know. And so I think Luke has a chance to grow, and if that's the position he feels is for him, there's still time to make a run at it. So I haven't given up on the idea that he could be a good quarterback, and I don't think the coaching staff did. But, you know, it's kind of in the court of the player to decide, you know, what's best for me. Where's my best option to better myself individually?
Between now and the end of spring, what do you have to see out of Adrian Martinez? I mean, will we see enough to go, okay, he's done this, this, and this? Or do we wait for Adrian Martinez until the Illinois game?
Yeah, it's really hard, honestly, don't you think, to get much evidence of anything one way or the other on Adrian until that game show up again. I mean, with Adrian, the biggest thing is going to come down to when the lights are on, can you eliminate the turnovers? You know, can you eliminate those mistakes? Obviously, you'd like more confidence in the passing game as a whole and the ability to throw the ball downfield and trust in his receivers. I think there's been a lack of trust, too, and that when Adrian was a freshman, who was his best friend? It was Stanley Morgan, I thought, because Stanley was that guy who, okay, I can throw this ball up there, and I feel like this guy has at least a 50-50 shot, and in fact, I like my chances of winning this coin flip. He's going to bail me out on some cases, and I'm going to trust him to do that. And I don't think he's had a guy like that he's believed in necessarily. Wandale's a different type of receiver than Stanley was. So maybe it's a guy like Toure. Maybe it's a guy like Xavier Betts getting one more year in the system, and you feel that. Or Omar Manning hangs around, and he is what we thought he could be. Those are all question mark, question mark, question mark, and that's sort of why people are nervous about the offense right now, because it feels like it's just full of it. I mean, from your first question of what's the QB room going to look like to going through every skill position, there's possibilities there, but it's always with the question. attached to it, and that's where it's going to be. People aren't going to believe it till they actually see it against Illinois, and then back it up week after week.
So let's flip it, because maybe this is a good or a bad thing for the offense. You're going to have a veteran defense. You're really not going to have to do a ton of teaching, because you have a lot of frontline guys that are back, and even some of their backups are experienced from last year. Is it going to be a whole offseason through spring ball that we're hearing every day that the defense won? I mean, should we be hearing that? And if we don't, it's okay. Does that mean the offense is making progress, or the defense isn't moving along? What do you think what do you think a good spring has to look like for Nebraska defensively?
I think you want to hear the defense is winning a lot. I think that's actually good most of the time, and especially now when they have the veterans and they should be the favorites, and they should have a lot of swagger. They should have belief they can be really good, but they also should buy into every headline that says they're going to be. It's going to take young players making that leap. I think you made this point last week, and I think it was a good one. We talk all about the seniors coming back, but what about Ty Robinson, Luke Reimer, Nick Henrich? It's that group of guys, that cast of characters, who are like third-year type players who they played pretty good last year. It kind of got you excited. Like, yeah, I think they can be what they're supposed to be. And now you want to see them keep developing and keep climbing, because I think that's the thing Husker fans, when they think about this program and sort of why it's been in the quicksand, they feel like guys have gotten stuck in the quicksand with their development, where certain players look like they're going to really ascend maybe after one season, and then they sort of level out. And so that's going to be the big test for those guys on the defensive side, and get beyond just the seniors returning. It's those guys who are like sophomore type players who are going to be in this program for the next 3 years. Can they make a nice jump, and maybe one or two of them even pop up on all conference lists, and then the next year you build off that and they're first team all conference type guys? That's the type of stuff you really want to see. So it's as much about that group as it is the seniors.
Brian Christopherson joining us here on the Gary Sharp Show. Scott alluded to the other night, he was talking about running backs and the advantage of having a guy that has gotten a lot of carries at the Division I level in Step joining the program from USC. Walk me through how you think they divide up a spring with the running back room, because you need to, you don't know anything in your system with the USC transfer, and you've got a bunch of young guys that you think you know, but you don't know, and then you have Morrison sitting there who you like but didn't get the opportunity this year. Do they just say, everybody is a co-number one, let's go at it, or do you think there'll be a certain pecking order for the running backs?
Well, I think Ryan Held probably has an idea of who's actually been putting in the work, even though we haven't necessarily seen it. You know what I mean? Like, who actually knows their stuff in the meetings and can go out there and you don't have to stop the play because they don't know what's going on. There's got to be some separation there, I think, where there's probably tiers. That doesn't mean guys can't jump up and down and move it around, but I think he's got to have an idea maybe of, with Marvin Scott, for example, how much does he know right now? Is he ready to be right in there with the front line guys right off the bat? So I think there's probably a group of like three or four guys who I would guess start off maybe leading the conversation, a couple of guys who have to prove that they can get into that mix. And then, you see where you are about halfway through the spring, and you just keep that competition rolling. But even though we have not seen the guys get a lot of reps, Ryan Held has seen guys get reps, and he's seen guys respond to what they know about the offense and all that. So a coach has to have some sort of idea of like a pecking order, I think, going in. And then obviously you got to see who can really deliver when it counts.
Bill Moose last night, a wide ranging conversation. There's a lot of stuff going on in the Nebraska athletic department, and everything reverts back to football. And, he touched on some of the positives at the end of the year. Do you think that there's more there about the bowl decision? Because the head coach the night before alluded to how that all went down. And I got the sense that, you know, Bill Moose, it's a, you know, he wants to be in a bowl game. He wants to have success. I mean, it looks good on him. That's, you know, withstanding that he wants to be in a bowl game. Minimum is being in a bowl game this year. But the way that the vote went down, and maybe whether it be, hey, we're leaving it up to the players or the coaches, the head coach should have said, no, we're going to play. Do you think there's any lingering part of that discussion on how that vote went down?
I don't think it'll linger, but I hope that was a secret ballot.
Great point.
If that ballot ever comes out about who raised their hand and who didn't raise their hand, you know, some people are going to be looked a little differently at by the fan base. And I know that it was a complex conversation, and guys had been through a lot, and they, you know, it was going to go over Christmas and all that stuff. But all bowl games have always gone over the holidays. That's just the way it is. But I do think you could tell Bill Moose, if he had his say, they would have played in a bowl game. You know, that seems very apparent to me. And I understand that, because if you think about it from his perspective, I mean, Nebraska was really out front from the beginning, like, fighting to play. And so I'm sure he would have appreciated if they would have went one more week with it and done that too. And I think there's coaches who probably feel the same. But, you know, you got to read your room, and you got to think about what sets you up the best for 2021. I don't think in a big picture sense that it's going to matter that they didn't practice one more week and play one more game. I really don't. I don't think that has any impact going forward. As long as somebody doesn't come out and say, yeah, so-and-so didn't want to play, you know, and kind of starts this riffraff within the locker room. So I think as long as they keep that out of the public eye, they're fine.
What do you think a conversation is to wrap up the season between the AD and the head coach at Nebraska? Do you think it's Bill does more listening or offering advice? Because he's surprised us the last couple of years. Well, the two times in Chicago, you know, where we get him in the hallway and he kind of tells what he thinks the season's going to be like. And, you know, when he mentioned six wins and people went, whoa, well, he was kind of right on. And he's not one to inflate things. I think he keeps it realistic. But he's like all of us. I mean, you need a lot more in year four. Maybe that's the theme because it rhymes. How do you think those conversations go? Do you think he's a guy that offers advice, or he has enough faith in his head coach that he just sits there and listens because he has a feeling and he has a knowledge that the head coach knows what's up and how to fix those?
He strikes me in all our conversations we've had with him as a guy who trusts his coach, you know, to do. He hires them for a reason. You go do your thing, and I will stay out of your way for the most part. But I do need to know what you need and what's missing here. What are some things that you would suggest that we change? I would guess there's more listening involved from his end. And then obviously in that chair, you got to at some point make big decisions sometimes. But, I mean, he knows the fan base is antsy. Everybody knows that. And so even though the schedule is difficult in 2021, I think it's understood by everybody over there. Like, if you're sitting home for the holidays again, it's going to be rough. You know, like, that streak has to end. I mean, there's that point where this is Nebraska football. You have to be in at least a bowl game, you know. They play a lot of postseason games. It's not like it's the hardest thing in the world to get into. We're not talking about like a New Year's Six bowl or anything like that in this conversation. I'm talking about like get to the Duke's Mayo Bowl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think Bill Moose has been very fair about the bar he has set publicly. And like you mentioned a couple of years ago, people kind of snickered in the hallway in Chicago when he said, well, you know, I'd like to get him the six wins, you know, get a bowl game, that'd be a nice step. And that didn't even happen. He was the guy who at least kept the bar semi-close to the ground there. So he's sort of helped the staff out, I think, with his public comments of not going too far in. But I also don't think it's too much to ask. I think the season success rate is, can you get to a bowl and can you get a winning record in the media guide and then build from there with a schedule that's more favorable next year. If you want to just, you know, simplify it, I think that's the story, really.
Yeah, I think it's just, Bill, what do you think the expectations are for the 21 season? I would say bowl game and leave it at that. Bowl game. I mean, that's essentially that's 6 wins. You know, whatever you get over that, that's gravy. I mean, you look at the great opportunity on the schedule to really change narratives. But I would just say bowl game and then walk off, not say anything else.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Bowl game in a normal year, which hopefully this will be more so, you know, you get the extra practices. This year, if we're going to have that conversation about why them not playing, they would not have got 15 practices, so it wasn't, you know, maybe quite as substantial if they had played or not for that reason. But next this year, it is. I mean, you've got a team that you're trying to get old and stay old, as Scott Frost always said. Well, you got to get them used to winning, so they got to get a winning record, and they need all those extra practices in December. And, you know, you can't have another year. Last year, basically, this group had 2 spring practices. And so from the end of the Iowa game in 2019 till about September of the next year, they were on the field, what, twice? As a team, I mean they've got to have a year where they are constantly getting practices, winning some games, and getting to a bowl game would help that, obviously.
All right, a little bit quieter week this week. I'm sure now that guys are back, it'll ratchet up again next week. BC, as always, I appreciate your time.
Yep, thanks.
And so Brian Christopherson, the pressing thing will be, is Luke McCaffrey at Nebraska or not? There's way too much smoke now. If he's here, you have your answer. If he's not, there's your answer. See what I did there? I think that's with Bill Moose. And again, the schedule in 2021 is what it is, but look at it as an opportunity. You may look at it as an opportunity as a good or a bad, but it's an opportunity to change a little narrative and show the progress that you've made in your program where you're at. I mean, you're not going to be able to lie to this schedule. You're not going to be able to fake your way through this schedule. It's going to challenge you nearly every single week to be at your best and be prepared that you can show that you've developed the consistency. We all understand winning is hard. I think we're past that threshold now. We understand winning is hard. We just want consistency. Give me consistency. Beat teams that you're supposed to beat. Toss-up games, let's go 50-50. And 1 out of every 3 games where you're an underdog, win a football game. Consistency. Week-to-week consistency. That's where you start. You have to do... You haven't done enough where you can get away from going, well, I can't take baby steps. I got to start taking... No, you're still in the baby step category where you're just trying to grab consistency from week to week. But all Bill Moose has to say from here to the start of the season, hey, I know, Bill, you want a lot more out of year 4. What is that? Which way? That... George, go online, fill out a patent for that. A lot more in year 4. Bowl game. That's all you got to say. Bowl game. Anything above that? Gravy. Bowl game. Minimum. Bowl game. Bill, 6-7. Bowl game. That's all you got to say. All right, next hour, we'll break down the weekend of championship football coming up on Sunday and everything else that is swirling around the NFL, which also, outside of there's one head coaching job left, is that Eric Bieniemy's? What's going to happen with Deshaun Watson? What about the quarterback for 2021? It is a deep draft. You could have 5 or 6 go in the first round, but look at how many teams may change quarterbacks in the NFL in 2021. You don't normally have this amount of turnover at that marquee position in the NFL. That's some of the things we'll get into with our next 2 guests on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.